Immediately following the Bucks win over the Rams, I heaped a lot of credit and a lot of praise on players that were not named Tom Brady. Some of our listeners didn't appreciate that too much. David, however, is going to tell you why I'm right. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, rejoined by my stellar co-host, one Mr. David Harrison. You can check out his written work over at Sports Illustrated's BucsGameDay.com. Check me out or over at SB Nation's BucsNation.com. And of course, follow all the action on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DHarrison82.
Thanks again for making Locked On Bucks your first listener, your first view of the day. Today's episode brought to you by BetterHelp. It's not a crisis line. It's a self-help line, a professional therapy line done securely online, available to everybody worldwide. They have a special offer for our listeners. Get 10% off your first month when you go to betterhelp.com/lockedon. More on that coming up later in today's episode. But James, you said a lot of good things about Mr. Cade Otton, rookie tight end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Baby Gronk, as some are calling him. And you also said some nice things about Scotty Miller, but apparently you didn't say a lot of nice things about Tom Brady, the GOAT, the legend, the future Hall of Famer, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, Mr. Tom Brady. And listen, I'm going to get into a little bit more of this later on in the episode, so guys, stick around because this is part one. But here's what I will say about anyone who says that James didn't give enough credit to Tom Brady. It's not that James isn't giving enough credit to Tom Brady. It's that everybody else is giving plenty of credit to Tom Brady. Tom doesn't need James Yarko to come in here and say how great he is. Tom knows how great he is. You all know how great Tom is. But what has been plaguing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers all year long? It's inconsistently from across the roster. And I know, you know, and listen, Bucs fans, you're not alone. When things are not going well, you all get angry and you tend to lash out at people who really have nothing to do with what's going on between the lines. And we are not immune to that. And that's okay. We're not offended by it. We're not hurt by it or anything like that. But the bottom line is the defense has had moments where it's failed the team. Go back to Kansas City, right? Not to Kansas City, but the Kansas City game. And that's kind of a prime example of that. Receivers have had drops. They've had bad routes. Running backs have not found holes. Linemen haven't blocked. Tacklers haven't tackled. Linebackers haven't given effort. Hall of Famers have publicly called out team captains. Like, the Buccaneers in 2022 look a lot like the Buccaneers in like 2018. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit complicated. But go back to 2018. We knew Mike Evans was great. We knew Lavonte David was great. We didn't need to point out every single episode how awesome those guys were. So when there was a glimmer of hope, right? It's even hard for me sometimes to remember who those guys were. We like to point out those guys because we hope that you come to us to not just to hear the same old same. If you want Tom Brady praise, go to NFL Network, ESPN, Sunday Night Football, pregame, halftime, postgame, Monday Night Football, pregame, halftime, postgame. You're going to hear Tom Brady praise. We're trying to bring you guys not something totally different just to be different, but to hopefully give you a little bit deeper dimension of what's going on. Plus, James Yarko loves him some Cade Otton, guys.
I do love me some Cade Otton. And look, I'm not great when I bet on things, but I would be willing to bet that if you sat down and had a conversation with Tom Brady, he would give the credit for that game-winning drive to Cade Otton and to Scotty Miller and to the offensive line and to Byron Leftwich before he pointed the finger at himself.
Right. And I mean, look, he was asked about, you know, the contributions of those guys in the postgame press conference, especially Cade and all that. And he talked about, you know, some of the things he talks to those guys about. Yeah, look, it's a team effort. Tom understands that. And at the end of the day, the Buccaneers won. So,
Yes,
we love Tom. We think Tom is great. I mean, we don't think we know Tom is great, the greatest of all time and all that stuff. But some of these young guys deserve some love, too. So try not to take saying one thing as not saying the other thing with intent. So, like, if we come through here and say, man, the defense really dropped the ball on this one, guys, doesn't mean that the offense didn't have their share. It just means that we're focusing on that for today's episode. And also remember, five days a week, guys, we have five episodes. So make sure you come through for all of them because that's where you get the full picture of what we think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah. Don't hear what we're not saying.
because we got 5 days to say lots of things.
Yeah. So just because we don't say Viper's name on the show doesn't mean we're not thinking about it.
No, we love you, Viper. And I know you were giving me a little grief, but I'll also say you weren't the only one. Otherwise, yeah. David would not have started off the show coming to my defense, which I appreciate.
Yeah, but it's the truth as well. Listen, but there's some other things that happen, right? So obviously, James, you got to do the live post game. I wasn't here for that. So here's what I want to share a couple of my observations before we get into our Sash It and Trash It and our sock report. My play of the game, and this is going to strike people as a little bit weird. My play of the game, obviously, honestly, was Cooper Kupp giving up on that run towards the end of the game, the Rams' last real offensive possession, where he's trying to go for the sticks. And I know what he was trying to do, and I know his football instincts were telling him to try to do the smart thing, and I agree with what his instincts were saying. But honestly, James, I think if Cooper Kupp, because Cooper Kupp is no weakling, he's no sap, right? Like, this is a tough dude. If Cooper Kupp lowers the shoulder, and instead of trying to slide to stay in bounds to work on the clock, he lowers the shoulder and tries to get as many yards and go for the sticks. Maybe he does get knocked out of bounds. Honestly, that may actually happen. But I think the Rams have a much better chance of converting first down in that situation. And at the end of the day, if they convert first down, game is over. So I think if Cooper Kupp had that to do over again, instead of sliding just to stay in bounds, I think he lowers the shoulder and tries to get as many yards as he can. And that may be the difference between the Rams escaping Raymond James with a win.
Yeah, that's an absolutely phenomenal point. And what a lot of people, forgot kind of in the moment is that Cooper Kupp was down the moment he started to slide. So he didn't get all those extra yards for gliding on across the grass. That set up a third and five. And even if he starts his slide two steps later, you're looking at third and three, third and two. But I do think you're 100% right that if he lowers his shoulder, even if he goes out of bounds, you could be looking at a first down. And from there, the game is probably effectively over. And that was why I pointed out when somebody in the chat had mentioned challenging the punt, why I thought it was so great that Todd Bowles didn't challenge the punt, because we've seen some really bad review decisions where a call is upheld, not necessarily confirmed. And I think that one was close enough. It could have cost the Buccaneers a timeout, and they needed that timeout in order to secure that win. Todd Bowles throws that challenge flag. We are not talking about a win. We are talking about a fourth straight loss. So two really pivotal moments in that game. And I love the fact that the Kupp slide is your play of the game.
Yeah, and hindsight is always 20/20, right? But I mean, even in the moment of that play, and I know that, the broadcast team was like, oh, man, I can't believe they didn't challenge that and all that stuff. I even thought, like, in the moment, your defense isn't the problem. Like, your defense starting on the one would be absolutely great, or on the goal line would be absolutely great, absolutely. But them starting on the 25 instead, you can do what you need to do, and you can put yourself in position to win this game. And obviously, it worked out. So faith in the defense is how I took Todd Bowles not challenging it versus anything else. And then you gave out some game balls. Kate Otten obviously got one. I also want to give out a game ball myself. I'll do this real quick. I'm giving mine to Ryan Succop. Look, I know that one of the field goals got blocked, right? But this dude made three other kicks, three other field goals, rather, I should say, in this game. And right now, James, Ryan Succop has matched or exceeded four seasons worth of field goal tries in his career so far. Like, there are four seasons in his career so far. Halfway through this year, he has already kicked the same amount or more. And he's kicking at a career high 91.7% rate, even with the blocked field goal. Okay, so Ryan Succop is on pace to set a career high in field goal attempts. And he's kicking at the most efficient that he has his entire career. So I think Ryan Succop deserves a lot of praise. So I'm going to give him kind of an additional game ball. So the Buccaneers come out with a win. Maybe they got some help in some places. Maybe they got some help in some other places. We all need help sometimes. So it's always great to have somebody to turn to for that help. And for your help, you can turn to our friends at BetterHelp.com. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Fortunately for you, you can reach out to someone when you need it, because sometimes there's just stuff going on in life, guys, that we need a helping hand to figure out. We can't see the forest through the trees, because we're in the midst of the problem. And sometimes our ability to become an effective problem solver just gets hindered in those situations. And sometimes they feel so big that you don't know how you're going to ever overcome it. A therapist can be your partner, like James was for me, like Cooper Kupp sliding too early was for the Buccaneers. All of those things, they can be your partner in problem solving, make it easier to achieve your goals. And I found I'm more likely to be completely honestly, with a trained stranger than I am with a friend or a family member who knows me more than anybody else. BetterHelp not only wants to be a part of your solution, but they have convenient, accessible, and affordable professionals ready for you online or over the phone. And you can do it how you want to do it. You can do it with camera on, camera off. And you know what? If you don't like the person you're matched with, you can ask for a new therapist. No questions asked. You don't have to justify it or qualify it in any way, shape, or form. It's all about you getting the help that you need. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can help get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedon today to get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/lockedon. Appreciate you making Locked On Bucks podcast your first listen every single day. And of course, find even more sports on the Locked On Sports Today podcast. Go beyond the scoreboard, behind the scenes with local experts and with insight that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports, available on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Time for Stash It and Trash It, James. I'm going to go first. I'm going to stash Young Bucks. And people aren't going to want to hear this, especially some people. Guys like Kate Otten.
Yeah.
Guys like Scotty Miller. Guys like Rashad White. I know Rashad didn't have like the greatest stat line in the world, right? But even guys like Jalen Darden. Look, just a few weeks ago, right? Well, I think it was Pittsburgh, basically. I came out of Pittsburgh going, Jalen needs to be done. And I'm sure I said what I usually say, which is I never really call for a guy to get cut or fired. I just say that version of that person needs to disappear. That's kind of my way of justifying saying a person is not living up to their expectations. And what I saw in Pittsburgh was a lot of Jalen Darden ducking contact, ducking, you know, defenders and just running away from being a football player. But honestly, ever since then, we've seen a better version of Jalen Darden. I wouldn't say necessarily the optimal version of Jalen Darden, but I think he's gotten a lot improved. And Greg Omner of The Athletic, shout out to the godfather of the Locked On Bucks podcast, actually pointed out that his numbers are actually among the league best. I think a lot of that coincides with him being a little bit more of an assertive return man. So I like what the Young Bucks are doing. Stuff Joe Tryon and Joinko was definitely making his mark on the game. And look, Zion McCollum, he obviously showed it was too early for him to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, right? But still doing his thing as a gunner, still influencing things as a special teams contributor. So, yeah, the Young Bucks, not just Cade, but the Young Bucks, I like how they're getting involved, and I want to see that continue throughout the season.
To your point about Jalen Darden, I think a lot of it...
Oh, the punter. Can we get some Jake Kamarda love here?
Now,
sorry.
He was awarded the YouTube comment section game ball because I wanted to give one to Jake, but you know there was the photo that the Buccaneers tweeted out that Jake actually did get a game ball in the locker room, so I didn't want to piggyback off of that. But the YouTube commenters jumped on me about that. The guy,
Bravo YouTube commenters, yes.
They had Jake Kamarda had a 59.5 gross punt average, 59.5 yard gross punt average. That is an NFL record with a minimum 6 punts in a single game.
And that's with one of them being a touchback.
Yeah, he is insane. And to your point about Jalen Darden, he looks like he's getting more confident. My stash it in, and it relates back to your Young Bucks, actually, is the response of the front seven after losing Shaquille Barrett. 8 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 8 quarterback hits, and it was a joint effort. You saw Avery helping out at edge rusher. You saw Anthony Nelson and Carl Nassib, of course. Joe Tryon Shoyinka, I think, has played his – I want to go back and watch some of the other games because I know I've praised his play a couple of times this season. I think this was his best and most consistently played game of the season. He was getting after Matthew Stafford a lot, generating a ton of pressure. I thought Devin White responded well. Again, didn't play a perfect game, but I think his demeanor, his attitude, his play on the field showed that he's kind of flipped a little bit of a switch here, and he played at a much better level. Just the entire front seven of the Buccaneers consistently throughout this game, holding the Rams to 4 of 15 on third downs. They played an outstanding game. I want to see more of that. I want to see more of that group effort when you're missing your number one guy to really rely on everyone to get the job done. And it's always going to be someone different, whether it's Vita or Nacho or Tryon or Avery, whoever it is. Loved what I saw out of them.
As did I. Yeah, absolutely. So good stash there. And then let's hope we see more of that, especially because Shaq obviously isn't coming back. And Bradley Chubb is in Miami with a fat contract that the Buccaneers could not have possibly given him. So good on them. Trash it time. Look, as much as Tom Brady doesn't need praise heaped on him. Maybe Leonard Fournette kind of does. Lamenting Lenny, that's what I'm going to call it. That's my trash it. Look, at one point during the game, and you know, I don't know where the confirmation came from, but Tony Romo and the broadcast team talked about how Leonard Fournette unhappy about not being on the field and Rashad White getting a lot of touches for a certain string there. That needs to go away, and that needs to go away yesterday. Like, Leonard Fournette, you're the lead guy. You're the lead dog. You're the number one running back in that room. But you yourself said to these young guys, Rashad White, Keyshawn Vaughn, that they need to pick up some of the carry, or some of the load. They need to produce a little bit to help the offense take some of it off of you. We agreed with that then. We agree with that now. Love for Rashad White kind of goes back to our initial segment one conversation. Love for Rashad White is not hate for Leonard Fournette, Lenny. All right, just because Shad is out there doing his thing does not mean that we've forgotten about Leonard Fournette. You are still the top guy, but it's okay if there is a second guy that can come in there and give you a spell so you can come back stronger at the end of the game. The attitude of that being a negative from Leonard Fournette, again, I don't know where they got that or how they confirmed it, but I don't think Tony Romo was talking about it unless it's solid information. If it's true, I hope this coaching staff, I hope those teammates nip that in the bud right now, because what we don't need is Leonard Fournette pouting on the sideline while his team is losing a game because the rookie is getting more touches in that moment, because Lenny out-touched him. But in that moment, Rashad is getting more touches than you. It needs to stop.
I agree with you completely. At the same time, I don't know. He was pouting quite a bit a couple of years ago because Rojo was getting all the touches, and all of a sudden he had this huge breakthrough at the end of the year. Maybe we need to conjure that back up. Let's get Lenny angry and then appease him and let him turn into playoff Lenny again, where he just bowls over dudes. Also, it was so great to see him just absolutely plow over Jalen Ramsey. I laughed so hard with that.
Either way, yeah, absolutely. Either way, Rashad White gets more touches and or he's the starting running back, which makes Sun Devil Nation happy, so I'm good with either outcome.
All right. My trash it is the Julio haters, and that's haters with a J. Thank you, David. Look, he's been back for two games now, and we have... You know, there have been some people saying Julio needs to hang it up, yada, yada, yada. In his two games back, 9 targets, 4 receptions, 49 yards, and a touchdown. Yes, the touchdown came in garbage time. You take a look at 4 receptions on 9 targets, doesn't look great. Against the Rams, he had 2 catches on 5 targets. One of those targets is when he slipped, kind of aggravated that knee a little bit, limped gingerly off the field. He did return to the game later. So that one, it was unfortunate. He slipped and his foot came out from under him. Otherwise, I think he makes that catch and the Bucs have first down at midfield. The other two targets that he had that were not caught, it was pass interference that I think his name was Kendrick, got away with, wrapped him up on one well before the ball got there. Julio couldn't get his hands all the way up to catch the ball, and it falls incomplete. The other one, again, he got there early. It was towards the end zone, could have been a touchdown. So Julio is being effective now. They don't have to target him 8, 9, 10 times. But when he's out there and he's getting targets, he's moving the chains and he's being effective. When he's not interfered with, let it play out. Let that chemistry start to connect between he and Brady. Let him get a little bit more acclimated and, you know, everything will be fine. So everybody calm down on the Julio hate. He's going to be all right and help this team. I would say in the next game, whatever he is projected to get on your fantasy team, he will get more than, because I have faith that Julio is going to be a big part of a game against the Seattle Seahawks, given the people show out in Germany. So head over to our friends at Prize Picks. You're going to pick 2 to 5 players, with Julio Jones being one of those. And if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. You're not competing with other people. It's just you against the projections. And they offer projections on any sport that you can watch. That's NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, college football, men's and women's college basketball, MMA, boxing, Euro basketball, cricket, so many more. Safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. Don't forget, promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. wrap things up here on a Tuesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. Stock up, stock down. We are each going to take a player who we think raised their stock in week 9 and a player who didn't do much to help themselves. But before we do that, let's hear from Raphael in Texas.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Raphael from Texas. Just wanted to tune in because it's been a little bit dark here lately, but by goodness, we got back on top. We secured the division lead because of our head-to-head against Atlanta. We're back in business, baby. Tom Brady, vintage Tom Brady performance. And I want all those commentators and pundits who came on all the shows and said he's done, he's not the greatest quarterback anymore, and I want them to eat their words, because today's victory was a moral victory, was an amazing victory. And this is all the freaking Bucks fans out there. Our season isn't over. It's just beginning. Fire the cannons, boys. Let's go, Buccaneers. And congratulations to your son on the Pee Wee Super Bowl.
All right, Raphael. First and foremost, thank you so much for the congratulations. As far as the commentators, the media, the pundits, basically calling for the end of Tom Brady, it hasn't looked great this year, and I've been critical of Brady, but he looked really, really good in this game.
Tom has been counted out before, so I don't yeah. ever count Tom out. And actually, that's going to play into something I have in here in a minute. But first, James, let's get to stock up, stock down. I'll readdress that in my stock down. Why don't you give us your stock up? Spoiler alert, it's probably going to be Cade Otton.
It is not Cade Otton. It is the other guy that really helped in the fourth quarter. Stock up on Scotty Miller. We've seen throughout the year, he's had some rough games. He's had some bad drops. He was about as sure-handed as anybody else on the team, probably more so on Sunday. He had the bad drop in the end zone. But other than that, he caught every other target that was thrown his way. 7 catches on 8 targets, 53 yards. He was the second leading receiver on the team. Great game from Scotty. Want to see them build on that moving forward.
Yeah, not a big fan of body catchers. Never kind of really have been, being quite honest with you. And Scotty Miller is definitely a body catcher. And that's basically what happened on that drop, is he tried to let the ball get into his body and trap it with his arms, and it got into his face mask instead. And it's hard to... You know, only Julian Edelman can get a helmet catch from Tom Brady, not Scotty. My sock up is going to make some people mad, and it's by Byron Leftwich. Listen, I'm not saying the problems are done, okay, and I'm not even saying that his, you know, long-term future is solidified or anything like that, but you kind of mentioned it, right? The emotions on the sideline between Tom and Byron shows you a couple of things. One is that these two dudes have been under the gun, feeling the pressure, absolutely feeling the weight of the losing streak and everything else going on. But two, it's a team effort, all right? That's not Byron going to Tom and saying, thank you for saving my job. And that's not Tom going to Byron and saying, thank you for calling the perfect play. That's two men saying, bro, we did it. Like, we pulled together and we came through. So as much love as we're going to give Tom, I think Byron deserves a little bit of credit as well, so that he's getting my stock up. Don't get crazy. I'm not saying he's like the greatest offensive coordinator in the NFL or nothing, but he definitely deserves a little bit of, even if Tom's going out there and kind of freewheeling it, trust me, Byron is not just standing on the sideline watching Tom Brady like a fan who paid for a ticket. And I'll get back to those fans who paid for tickets here in a minute.
All right. My stock down. I hate to pile on. I do. But I don't know. The media went after Devin White pretty hard over the course of the last week and a half or so, and that seemed to translate to a much better performance on Sunday. Maybe it'll work again. Stock down, Leonard Fournette.
We hate Lenny.
I love Lenny, but I don't love what we're seeing from Lenny when we know he's capable of so much more. 2 yards a carry is not getting it done. 9 carries for 19 yards compared to the guy that you were mad that was on the field who had 8 carries for, I think it was 27 yards. As Tony Romo said when that story was being talked about, that he was mad on the sideline that Rashad was getting all the carries, this is a performance-based business, and he is not performing up to the level that we all know he is capable of. And as soon as he does, that is going to unlock a lot of things in this offense. But right now, he's not getting the job done. Rashad White is. So come on, Lenny. Let's see. I don't know. Munich Lenny. I don't know German words to
match. Lederhosen Lenny. Let's go. Lederhosen, let's bring that out. Lederhosen
Lenny. I love it.
All right. My stock down is going to be about some Buccaneers fans. And I've always said, James, right, I'm never going to be the guy to say like a real fan, you know, insert here. And I'm going to stick to that. But I have a little bit of an issue with fans who pay a lot of money to go see these games and leave early, especially when there's a reason to stick around. I want you to take a look at something. If you're joining us on YouTube, take a look at the screen real quick. And if you're listening in audio, I'm going to do my best to illustrate this. If you want, you can go to YouTube and check it out in our segment three, right? Top photo is the Buccaneers, is Raymond James Stadium with 5:43 left on the clock, as seen from the Buccaneers sideline looking towards the Rams sideline. Bottom photo is 44 seconds left, and it's the beginning of the drive that would become known as the Cade Otton touchdown. All right. But look, see this section up here with 5:43 left in the game. Bucs are down 4. They've got the ball around the 40-yard line. This is the game. This is the drive that would end up in the fourth down turnover on downs and all this stuff. Look at that section there. Now go to the bottom picture. This is the beginning of the next drive. So what that tells me is that a whole lot of Buccaneers fans left after that failed fourth down attempt. And for anybody who needs a side-by-side, there's your side-by-side. You spent your hard-earned money to go to this game. You're watching Tom Brady, the greatest NFL quarterback to ever play this game. Even in a loss, you're watching Tom Brady. But here's the thing. Here's the biggest thing. Tom Brady's down by 4, guys.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is down by 4. And you're leaving? You just ruined your own opportunity to see one of, yes, many Tom Brady classic comebacks. So there's your Tom Brady praise, ladies and gentlemen. You just gave up an opportunity to say you were there when that happened. If Cade Otton, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if Cade Otton becomes like the greatest tight end in Buccaneers history, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that have left, you just missed watching his first career touchdown, not just as in the NFL, but as a Buccaneer in Raymond James Stadium because you didn't have faith. And I understand there's a lot of reasons to not have that faith, but guys, it's Tom Brady. It's the Buccaneer. You spent all that money. To what? To find out on your cell phones as you're walking to your car or driving out of the stadium parking lot that you missed a comeback like that? Like, I'm just saying, from my perspective, I don't know how you do that. And I feel for you because I know you're regretting it now.
And it was the record. That's the most.
Yeah, that too.
Game-winning drives by a quarterback in NFL history. Now, it reminds me of the Miami Heat, San Antonio Spurs NBA Finals when all those Heat fans left. Yep. And then all of a sudden, Ray Allen pulls the rabbit out of the hat. And people were trying to get back in. There's no re-entry, folks. You can't take that moment back. Special shout out to Snipes, who called in and left a voicemail all the way from Kenya. Sorry we couldn't get to it. We had a lot to discuss. Shout out to everybody that called in. Our guy, Raphael, out in Texas. Yeah, Tyler from Boston called in. Ben called in from LA. Lots and lots of people. Appreciate all of you.
Appreciate all of you.
I'm going to be back tomorrow with Evan Klosky for a WTSP Wednesday, but we thank you for making Locked On Bucs your first listen or view of the day. And for the biggest headlines in all the sports, make sure you're checking out Locked On Sports Today right here on YouTube or wherever you are listening to this podcast. Check out David's work over at BucsGameDay.com. Check me out over at BucsNation.com. And, of course, follow everything on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire those cannons. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.